It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Add two different starting topics, and I have forgotten both of them.
Sorry.
That's a good start.
It's my fault.
No, it's not. You did not make me forget topics.
I know, but I had technical difficulties. And
I think I forgot them earlier than that. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I forgot them last Thursday. Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is officially the podcasting arm of Operation Bread and Circuses. That's all you need to know about that. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 504.
504. Yep. Sorry, I'm just deleting an email from ESPN Plus.
Oh.
We bundled our Disney Plus and our Hulu, and so we have ESPN Plus. Never put it on any device, couldn't care less, but sometimes they email me. Those of you just joining us, this show is as good as it's going to get right here, so be ready for that. We have a hat, not the one he's wearing, a different hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, probably the ones listening right now, but anyone really can and should write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, little topics, little questions, things like that. A hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's early and also late servants, draw the note cards out of the hat randomly, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Yep.
I'm playing with the camera and what the camera can and cannot see.
Okay.
All right. So how's your week been?
It's been fine. I mean, I don't think we've really seen anything worth talking about. Although, found out today.
Presidential election calling thing happening.
Yeah, found out today that my sister-in-law has tested positive for COVID-19 in Alaska.
Yeah. So my nephews did in Minnesota.
Yeah, she's a teacher up there, and she kind of has to keep teaching even though she's sick.
Well,
I mean, online. I mean, you know.
Depending on the kind of sick she has, that may be literally impossible. Good luck to her.
But I mean, I hadn't really thought about this, but I mean, during the pandemic, especially if they're doing a hybrid or online only thing, which I guess theirs is online only, you're not going to have the usual substitute teacher thing, right? Like, you're going to be gone and you have some notes and the sub comes in. It's like, nah, it doesn't really work like that. Can't work that way. So it's complicated. And if you're sick and you can't teach, your kids are just going to get a snow day kind of thing, I guess. But then you have to make it up. And I don't know. So she's in a bad situation. She's having some symptoms. I don't think she's going to have to be hospitalized or anything like that, but it's certainly a thing where you don't feel like, you know, working. You really should be in bed, you know, sleeping it off. And
yeah, some people I know only wake up, use the bathroom, and go back to bed. Some people I know were unable to do that.
So. Yeah, I mean it's a flu-like illness. So if you're the kind of person that is, you know, if you've ever had the flu and you know what that's like, and maybe you're out for a week or whatever, a lot of people are. Yeah. Well, this is a similar kind of thing. Some people react to it worse than they do the flu. Some people react to it better. But I mean, I think she's just having normal flu-like symptoms, but that's enough for you not to want to, you know, be working, and you shouldn't be working. Yeah. You should be sleeping, or, you know, so you can get better. So it's not a good situation. Nobody else in the house has tested positive for it.
Is she quarantining at all?
Yeah.
The rest of them?
Yep. One of the family members was exposed, had a friend who came down with it, and she's quarantining elsewhere. So she doesn't bring it home, but somehow my sister-in-law got it anyway from somewhere else. But the other two people living at home, you know, my brother and their youngest child, they don't seem to have it, and so that's good. But you know, it's not a very good situation.
Yeah, my nephews are quarantining in their bedrooms. They've got another brother and their mom and dad all in that house. So it's a pretty good size house. So I think they can manage it. Rich and I were talking about it the other day. And if one of us gets COVID, basically the other one's going to get COVID.
Like, that's the way it'll be. We've
got one bathroom. We technically have two bedrooms, but one of them isn't really functional and they're right next to each other. Like, there's just sort of no way to isolate.
Right. Yeah. Us too. Well,
I'm not hearing nothing.
Abby was having some symptoms and got tested.
Abby was having some symptoms and got tested. I heard that much. That was it. I don't hear anything else.
Yeah, so she did. She got tested and it was negative.
Okay, I heard you for a second. Your picture never moves, but I'm getting little bits of talking. Now you're moving.
Negative.
Okay, that's good.
She tested negative, but here's the thing. If she had tested positive, there wouldn't even be any point of me getting tested, because I'd almost certainly be positive myself. I mean, they're just going to get it. And by the time she's showing symptoms, she has surely given it to me. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going to happen for the rest of my brother's family. It's that same sort of thing. They were all living there together. We'll have to see. So, I mean,
this surge is really bad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, and Iowa's been looking really bad. The nation as a whole is looking really bad.
Yeah.
UK has re-locked down. Maybe that's why I didn't have another episode of Mock the Week. Maybe they couldn't do it because they had to lock down again. I don't know. How are you feeling about the presidential election situation?
Well,
AP called it on Saturday.
Yeah.
And despite the many lawsuits, it appears that at this point, even if most of the lawsuits were accurate, still wouldn't win. So.
Well, here's the thing. What's happening right now always happens. I mean, the votes typically aren't certified by states, you know, for days after election night, but yeah. Because the project news organizations give are usually, you know, pretty accurate, the candidate usually concedes, and then we don't really have a big conversation about it after that. You don't often have a lot of legal challenges, but the part about, you know, for example, Alaska, I think, just finished their count, like, I don't know, yesterday. And that's not unusual at all. It's just Alaska, what Alaska does or doesn't do often doesn't matter. So nobody cares that it takes them a whole week to get done with their count or whatever. So a lot of the stuff that's going on as far as, you know, counts taking a long time and you know, things haven't been certified yet, et cetera, that's perfectly normal. But the projections that news organizations give on election night usually are accurate enough that the loser has no problem conceding and nobody has any problem sort of going on as if the counts are all done and everything's certified and everything after that's a technicality mostly. So, you know, and the point I'm trying to make with that is AP calling it on Saturday, that's probably as reliable a call as any call has ever been, which means it's probably going to stick.
The only way it wouldn't was if they had evidence of fraud on a scale to flip entire states, and it would have to be enough of them. And they don't, it won't. And so, yeah.
That's right. Any challenges in court would have to have standing, they call it, you know, if it'd have to matter.
Well, and several have already been thrown out by various state Supreme Court.
That's right. Now, one of the things that you hear people talking about right now is challenges to, I think it's 14th Amendment challenges, which those aren't about votes and how many are fraudulent or anything like that. That's about this idea that that you have to treat all votes the same. You have to treat them to the same scrutiny in terms of making sure they're valid or whatever. And there are some suits that are pointing out that naturally, in a material sense, mail-in votes are treated differently than in-person votes. But that probably won't matter in terms of the number of votes we're talking about. But also, I don't think that suit has a legal leg to stand on, because of course, mail-in votes are different than in-person votes. But that doesn't mean that you're violating this, you know, the spirit of the law, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to hold up.
I should probably rephrase my original question. When I asked about your feelings about the election, I wasn't asking who you thought won or would win. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of lawsuits, but I kind of assumed that you, like me and like most sane people, know that that's not going to be the thing. I just wondered what your thoughts were on, you know, Biden winning, Trump refusing to concede. I guess
all of that is my way of saying I don't really care. I mean, it's, you know, Biden was called the winner by AP. That's probably as good as any other call has ever been. People have always trusted those calls, and they've always been trustworthy. Like you pointed out, none of the suits are particularly, clearly, you know,
right,
are going to go anywhere. I should
probably try this again. Yeah, happy Biden won.
I don't care.
You really don't care?
No, when I'm Biden happy. Biden and
Trump, didn't care?
No, you're asking the wrong question.
I did several times, so I'm trying to fix it.
I'm glad that Trump lost.
There we go. There we go.
That doesn't make me happy that Biden won.
I understand. That's what I was asking.
Well,
reactions about the situation. I don't analysis on how accurate the results are now and will be and stuff is not something that I A, am interested in, or B, thought you had particular insight in. I just wondered your feelings about how it went. And yeah, no, I'm
Oh, I thought you were interested in my feelings about the controversy and things like that.
Oh, no. I mean, I consider it all stupid and crazy. And if there's an iota of justice, it'll all get thrown out and it'll be fine. Okay. I wouldn't put it past something else happened. I mean, 2000 election was stolen already. So that could happen, which is why I refuse to party until he's actually out of the building.
I just thought you were interested in what I thought about it. But
I mean, sorry. I mean,
it's okay if you weren't. I just thought you were. That's all. I don't care.
I am. You just stated a series of what to me were self-evident facts.
Well, I've been talking to a few people. I've been talking to a few people, and it's not self-evident to them. A lot of people are very worried that he could succeed, and Trump could succeed in all of this legal nonsense.
Really?
Yeah, some people are pretty convinced of it. I'm not. I don't think it's going to work. But there are some people who think so. I didn't think you thought so, but I thought maybe you thought some of our listeners might think so, and maybe.
I'm not willing to relax, like I said, until he's out of there. But no, I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me that was a real worry, that somehow the courts were going to side with him. Because just all the claims are so ridiculous. And so many of the lawsuits in less than a week were already thrown out. I mean,
I'm not sure people think the courts will necessarily side with him, but there are all these little things about if the vote doesn't get certified in a timely manner, then state legislatures will be able to decide. And there are more Republican state legislatures than there are Democrat and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So there are some people thinking that it's not necessarily a courts thing. It's the states don't certify on time. And then the next step legally is for state legislatures to decide, and too many of them are Republican, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, well, that's horrible. And I'm not going to sleep for a while now, I guess.
Sorry.
I'm really sorry to know that.
No.
That's awful.
I don't think it's going to come to that at all. I don't even know why it would. There's no reason the states won't certify on time. No reason. No reason.
I don't think so.
And
states certainly don't think they have a bunch of fraud.
No, that's right. In fact, I can't remember which outlet, I think there was more than one, actually called all the states to see, well, how are things going? And all of them, including the Republicans, were like, well, we think it's going to work out. So we're not worried about certifying on time. So,
And let's be honest, because if you did work for a state and you thought there was a lot of voter fraud, you probably still wouldn't tell anyone. It doesn't make you look good.
No,
you're this election in our state that we did corrupt as fuck.
Voter fraud is actually pretty hard. I mean,
yeah, and very seldom.
Yeah, it's hard to do. I mean, you can get by with it. The thing about voter fraud is that the bigger you have to go to make it work, the more likely you're going to get caught.
Yes, I mean, and that's the only scale at which it is useful. I'm
exactly
pretty sure
right.
That with a little bit of effort, I could find a way to vote twice. It would still take effort. Now I would double my votes. You know?
That's not worth it. And if you got caught, you'd go to jail because it's a felony.
And yes, and there's a certain percentage chance I'd get caught. There's also a much larger percentage chance that I don't get caught, but they find irregularity such that one or both of my votes gets thrown out.
Right. Even if you don't get caught, that's right.
And once you go past two votes, it gets exponentially more difficult.
And more likely you're going to get caught.
But if you can get 3 million illegal immigrants to sneak over and vote and then leave again, then you're golden.
Yeah, it's all pretty silly when it comes
because
down
it
to
clearly
it.
Worked so well for Hillary.
But yeah, there are some people who are concerned, and I understand why. I mean, there's a lot of news out there that's confusing, and some of it's kind of scaremongering. So I get it, but I don't think any of that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So. So I'm not worried about it at all. I'm glad Trump lost.
The global celebration was amazing. Paris rang its church bells. I think Seth Meyer was the one that, like, how bad do you have to be that the city of Paris rings its church bells to commemorate you getting fired from your job? There were fireworks in London. I'm still not sure how that worked, but there were actual fireworks in London.
Yeah, they would have had to plan that, right?
There was an impromptu parade on our street that I didn't see, but Cheney told me about it.
Really?
A bunch of cars with Biden Harris signs, like, slowed down. They were all going and people were cheering, and yeah. And that is cool. First female VP, first Black VP, first Indian VP, first biracial VP.
Yep.
And Biden's old. He could kick it anytime.
Not technically the first biracial VP. That would have been
first biracial woman VP. That is true. Obama is better. Jamaican.
Herbert Hoover had a vice president who was half Native American.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Curtis, I think his last name was Curtis, I want to say. So.
All right. Know that.
Yep.
But yeah, ignoring both Halloween and the election was really a wise move. This week I've been just cuz stupid this because I didn't want anything to do with any trick-or-treaters this year.
Oh,
it's insane.
Yeah.
And just in general, trick-or-treating on our block is a pain in the ass. There's huge variability in how many trick-or-treaters we get. There's huge variability in how many of them are actual kids or just teenagers who wanted to stick some candy.
Yeah.
So then we always buy too much or too little, and then ignoring the election was really good. So Trish is back.
Oh, okay, good.
Picked her up on Saturday. And then I started going through my normal news sources to catch up on the previous 2 weeks. I haven't checked anything. Man, the amount of stuff that would have been incredibly anxiety inducing to me had I read it when it was written for the election was huge. Like the days leading up to the election, everyone's just freaking out. And I'm like, I'm so glad I missed all this. That's nice. So yeah, I only ever found out about anything because on Saturday, some of my friends who couldn't resist texting, even though I told them not to text me for a while, were texting when AP called Biden. So that was the first I'd heard of anything. Apparently, right at the beginning, it looked like Trump was winning. That would have been terrifying.
Well, I mean, people said that, but...
I think it was more early votes. And I think this is true all the time, tend to be Democrat for some reason. Democrats tend to do more early voting. Or, what's your phrase? Early voters tend to be more tend towards being Democrats. That was the thing. Trish was looking up some stuff. And if you look on election day, Trump won some districts in Iowa City. It's based purely on who voted on election day.
Yeah, right.
Factor in the early votes, there's no question.
Right. Yep. So,
and Iowa was incredibly disappointing. We sucked.
Yeah, like I told you, Iowa went, the electoral college went to Trump, and
yep.
I don't know our district though where it's going to go because the vote is, I mean, the Democrat Republican candidates are literally like what, 300 votes apart. I mean,
yeah, it's real.
It's crazy. Yeah,
because it's two relatively unknowns. We kept Ernst though. That's a shitty move.
That's true. We did. You know, anyway, it's weird. it's weird about her too, because, you know, she got into office because Tom Harkin retired. You know, he was a Democrat, a longtime senator that, you know, most Iowans really loved and voted into office over and over again.
Same with Grassley.
Yeah, kind of amazing that he was replaced by a Republican, but he was. So
yeah.
That's a little weird, but.
So in 2 years, Grassley's up. He has said he's done.
Oh,
has people he? Are already like, I think he'll run again, and then he'll retire in the middle so that they can appoint somebody so that it can still be. And I'm like, oh my God, are we already doing this?
Well, I don't know.
Literally years ago, he said he will be done after this term.
I haven't heard him either way, but he should. I mean, he's been in there way too long.
He's in his 80s, I think.
Yeah, he needs to retire. Right. And
we've used up like half of this episode talking about this, and I really didn't want to do that. It's gross.
Sorry.
Terrible. So you haven't been watching nothing? What are you doing with your life?
I mean, I think we have, yeah, we've been watching Call the Midwife, because there are like two seasons we haven't watched.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we started watching The Good Doctor with, what's his name? Shoot. What is that kid's name? I call him a kid.
Bates Motel kid.
Yeah.
Freddie Highmore.
Highmore.
I was just talking about him today with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been
not related
that.
To The Good Doctor.
We've been watching that. Oh, and we watched, there's this, what's it on? Is it on? I forget what it's on, but it's about.
But if you tell me what it is, I can tell you what it's on.
It's about this guy who murdered his wife and daughters. Something. Murder next door or something. Anyway, it's creepy. It's all get out. It's probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen, ever.
Is it true crime?
It's a real thing that happened, yeah, but the way they put it, the documentary together with a whole bunch of footage from, like, you know, people's ring cams and from video footage of the interrogation room and you know, news footage. A lot of it is actual footage of the events unfolding.
Not intentional documentary footage. Yeah, that sounds awful.
It was creepy because you really got a sense of this guy, and that this thing that he did. A lot of times these things happen, and the people who perpetrate these horrific crimes, they have no record. You know, they didn't torture animals when they were little or anything. I mean, you know,
he was quiet and kept to himself.
Well, no, I mean, there was just nothing that would have indicated that he would have or could have done anything like this. And while you're watching things unfold, even if you kind of know what's going to happen, all you can think is he can't have done this. Surely it's not him, you know, and the footage is all them talking to him or the body cam of the police officer when he first responded to the call of the people. So you see all of this stuff and it's like, surely not this guy. I mean, he's just, look at him. He can't, you know, but then eventually he's confessing and you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. And like I said, even if you already know what's going to happen, the way they put it together was very effective. And it just really made you think about how, you know, probably most people who do these kinds of things, this isn't who they've been their whole life. You know, you know, the person that committed this horrific act became that person like maybe 2 weeks before it happened. You know, before that, they were a perfectly decent person who would never have done something like that.
You're just a ray of sunshine today overall.
It's just amazing what can happen to people, you know? It's just amazing how people work. And usually when I'm saying that, I mean it in a good way. I'm just so impressed.
This time it's a murdering your family.
Yeah, this time it's a horrible way, I'll grant. But man, it was creepy. But yeah, I mean, we've been watching stuff like that, which I wasn't even going to talk about. I was just going to mention whatever, but What else have you been doing besides trying to catch up on news?
We've been watching a lot of stuff because we purposefully stopped, like made sure we finished everything and didn't start anything new because she was going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I sort of did the same because I didn't really watch anything during those 2 weeks that was like normal. So I've been coming up with new things to watch and we've been coming up with new things to watch. So we watched a bunch of stuff and we still have a ton to go. We watched the first episode of the new season of Mandalorian. We are through two seasons of Kim's Convenience. I still recommend Kim's Convenience to anybody. It's a really great show and it's real light and it's short and easy to digest, as it were. We still haven't done Bly Manor yet or Fargo yet. We are doing Hellstrom on Hulu. You familiar?
I've heard of it, but I don't have Hulu, so.
It's based off of some Marvel Comics characters.
Oh.
But they have drastically altered them because they kind of have to, because these are characters that have been around since like the 60s or 70s and things. It's basically a show about demon hunting and exorcisms. I did not enjoy it until about the fifth episode, and now I do enjoy it. However, I still maintain it is very, very poorly written. A funny twist, I by myself started watching a show on Netflix called Diablero, and it is a Spanish language set in Mexico City TV show about demon hunting. I've only seen two episodes of it. It's so much better. Way more entertaining and interesting in their mythologies. Hellstrom likes to do a lot of that. We're going to keep things tense by just not telling you shit. So yeah. Many mysteries going on. And some of the mysteries are mysteries to everyone and the point of the show. Some mysteries are just things where people look at each other and say, you know, after what happened last time, we can't do that. They're like, yeah, I know. Shut up. And we're like, what? What happened last time? Who are you? Why does this matter? Like, there's so much of that. Drives me insane. But that's the thing. Around episode 5, they finally put in enough exposition that I felt I had a context for the show. And then it helped. For the longest time, I'm like, I barely know who these people are. I don't know what their interests are. I don't know why I should care. And now I'm like, okay, I kind of know why. That helps. We watched a couple of we had bad luck with movies. We watched a movie called Empathy Inc. and a movie called Vivarium. And we've been waiting for Vivarium. We've been very excited for Vivarium. They both were pretty lame. They both were horror thrillers in the vein of, here's a neat short story idea. Let's make it into a full movie. And Vivarium especially is very well made. But you're sitting there like, okay, like the whole thing, like what's going on? We have to find out what the answer. I mean, I don't want to say you don't get the answer. It's more accurate to say you pretty much know what's going on before you're halfway through the movie. And so they're like, oh, but let's find out more. You never really find out more. I told Trish afterwards, I was like, I have two questions about this movie. A small one and a big one. The small one is, and it was a thing involving this character had found something and how did they find it? If this, you know, a thing like that. I said, and the second question I have is why? Why did any of this happen? How is this useful for any of the beings involved? And so that was very disappointing. But been nailing it on TV shows. I watched Diablero. Also watched what I wanted to spend this entire hour talking about, Midnight Gospel on Netflix. You can watch it. You should watch it. You particularly, I feel like, should probably watch episodes multiple times. I feel like it's that kind of thing for you. Okay. This is, do you remember when I used to talk about the Curious Creations of Christine McConnell?
Yeah, we watched that.
Yes. This is absolutely nothing like that. that reminds me very heavily of that. And here's why. It's insane. I don't really know why it exists. It is really two types of shows layered on top of each other in a way that doesn't make sense for either of them. I'm obsessed with it, and there's one season, and I'm confident there will never be another season. It's amazing.
Why do you think I'll like it?
Well, let me talk to you about it. The first show of this show, Midnight Gospel, is it's an animated show. I should say that up front. It's a cartoon. And it is the story of a young man named Clancy who lives, I guess, in space. He lives like on a farm. I think it's like on an asteroid or something. It doesn't really come up. He lives in a little trailer on this thing, I think in space. He has a universe simulator. And there's tons of planets in it that were simulated. In every episode, he picks one. And then he picks an avatar and he goes to that planet in some sort of avatar. Finds a sentient being on that planet and then interviews them for his space cast, which is it's a podcast, but he sends it out into space and he's got little drone cameras that watch it and stuff. And then at the end, he goes back and he posts his space cast. That's the show. However, Clancy, the guy, is voiced by a comedian by the name of Duncan Trussell. In this show, Duncan Trussell interviews legitimate, I mean, at least minor celebrities, and has very in-depth discussions with them about some fairly heavy subject. So, let me give you an example. The first episode, Clancy goes to a planet that is in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. He has chosen the guy to interview, who the computer just identified as Glasses Man, is in fact the president of the United States on this planet. Is voiced by Dr. Drew Pinsky. People should know from years ago, he was on a show called Loveline for many years. He also, the celebrity rehab things, he's the doctor from that. He's a very famous celebrity doctor.
Okay.
They have a conversation about drugs, different kinds, the potential benefits of recreational drug use, the potential pitfalls, personal experiences they have had or friends they know, engaging in meditative practice as it relates to drug use and how that can impact things and a very serious and interesting discussion about the pros and cons and things of elective drug use.
Okay.
While fighting zombies, like a whole thing happens where like they go into the White House and they're on the roof and the president is shooting zombies and like, but it's not like they did an interview and then made a cartoon later, because the president, voiced by Drew Pinsky, talks about the zombies and shit in it. And like they run away and he's like, wait, I have a plan. And like at a certain point they get bit by the zombies and they figure out being a zombie's cool. And then so and he has lines and things. So like I don't know how this was made. Like, I don't know what part came first, because he's aware that it's a zombie thing.
Mm.
But like they animated the conversation they're having. And to a certain degree, they had to know about it beforehand. So I guess maybe they storyboarded it and then interviewed. I don't know. Second one, and this is when I start getting throws. The second one, he goes to this planet. There's clowns. It's weird. It's also these giant dogs with antlers. And some of them get thrown into this truck and he's in there too. And they're going to be taken to a slaughterhouse. So he interviews one of the dogs, deer dogs, about death. And they talk about death. And the deer dog is named Annie. And she knows a lot about death. A lot of her family members died very early in her life. And she's had to deal with this. And at a certain point, she says, so when my first book that I wrote, Hard Laughter, was just about this, blah, 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 blah. And I go and look it up. Hard Laughter is a real book. It is the first book by a famous author named Annie something. I don't know. That is really about dealing with death and stuff. And the interview also includes another deer dog who I think is her husband, because the way they talk, it's like they're partners, and they talked about dealing with death and trips they've taken and different people of spiritualities and how they viewed death and things like that while they're going through all this slaughterhouse stuff. And again, like, there's a whole section where Clancy and Annie are stuck together and he needs to go to the bathroom. And there's an elaborate scene of like trying to make that work. And Annie has lines. So like, this has nothing to do with the interview. It has to do with the cartoon in which they're in a slaughterhouse being run by clowns. And and actually some people are coming in and trying to blow the place up. There's some insurrectionists going on. It's very weird. And like at the end, all three of them are talking about how much they've enjoyed it and how they're some of each other's favorite people and stuff. And the husband says, like, thank you so much for this, Duncan. He's like, yeah. And then they finish up. And then the two of them stop talking. And then he says, who's Duncan? And then he leaves to go back to his home because, of course, the character is named Clancy. But the voice actor who theoretically was doing the interview, Duncan Trussell. So I don't know what's happening, but it's really interesting. Oh, and I'll throw this at you because I've seen three episodes. So I'm going to throw this at you. Third episode, he got an actual member of the West Memphis Three to discuss ceremonial magic and the Western tradition of high magic. And like super serious in the midst of that guy is voicing a fish-headed creature that runs a pirate ship with crude and stuffed with cats. And yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. But I think you would find the conversations interesting. And I think you would probably want to do several times so that you could like watch what's happening and then listen to what's happening.
Maybe. It's
very odd. I'm fascinated with it. It's very weird. It's called Midnight Gospel. It is on Netflix. It has bad language. It has nudity, which is usually just like they're all kind of goofy cartoon drawn things. So sometimes somebody will be naked. So you'll see like a poorly drawn cartoon. But I think there's one point where there were these little baby zombies and they had a little tiny hook for a penis, but it's not anything that actually would bother anyone. It's so weird. It's so very, 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 very weird. Okay. Check that out, everybody. Started reading last night the 14th Dresden Files book, Trish. I am almost finished re-listening to the 15th one, which means then I will get to start on the two ones that I haven't read. I'm kind of excited for that.
Cool.
I think I'm switching back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm getting a little bored with Kingdoms of Amalur. I think I'm going to switch back for a while. I don't know. We'll see. This week has mostly just been about trying to get back to a normal life. So we're working on that. Trish is not going to be going into the office anymore. She mostly went meet with a couple of people who were there regularly, and for various reasons they're not going anymore. So she's like, I don't really have any point. And I like it better when she's here, so that's good.
Yep.
I raked the leaves today.
Yeah.
Did it all in one day. I was surprised at myself. Usually pretty hard, but
oh,
it took two sessions, but yeah, and it all came down at once, so I'm not gonna have to do it again this year. I'm excited.
Oh, I see.
All right, do we draw a thing out of you know, a hat.
Yep. Oh, I forgot to mention we've been watching Titans on HBO Max.
Oh yeah.
That's and? Another thing. It's okay. I mean, you know, Abby's.
Are you just starting, or you had been watching before?
We kind of watched them before. We started all the way over because we couldn't remember anything.
Okay.
Abby's a Raven fan, and so she kind of likes Teen Titans, as long as Raven's in it, and they do pretty good stuff with Raven, so we like it. Okay, not all the characters are done very well, but it's good enough.
I'm surprised it got renewed because everything I heard was that it was garbage. But
yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, I hear critics praise those Titans and Swamp Patrol. Thing.
Oh, okay.
And Doom Patrol. Yeah, all of them, and compare them favorably to the CW shows. They're not any different than the CW shows. They're about the same. I don't know why people think they're like so much better. They're not.
Yeah. But. Umbrella Academy got renewed for a third season.
I heard that, yeah.
Somebody watch it.
So yeah, we've been watching a few things, I guess. I didn't know if any of it was worth talking about, but
soon you'll have a whole new season of The Curse of Oak Island.
Yeah, December, I guess.
Woohoo. December 17th at 2 p.m. Central U.S. time, there will be a worldwide live stream of James Acaster's newest comedy show. I'm very excited about this. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Throwing that out there, mostly because I know Jazz is a big James Acaster fan also, so that's why I said that. This is from Craig, who might live in Liverpool now. We don't know. Somewhere in the UK. It's not a part of Europe. That's the thing we know for sure.
Yeah.
If you had the chance to be a contestant on a TV quiz show, which would you pick?
I don't want to be a contestant on a TV quiz show or whatever kind of game show it is. I don't want to be, but I'll try to think of one. What do you have one in mind?
For me, there's two different, well, there's actually maybe three different things here.
Okay.
Besides trying to define TV quiz show is complicated.
Yeah.
And Craig may not have thought of all of this because British shows work differently a little bit, but there's what show would you want to be on because you think you could do well and win a lot of money?
Yeah.
Prizes. There's what show do you want to be on because you think it would be just fun to be on that show. For example, and this isn't me, but I could see someone wanting to go on Wipeout because it looked like it would be fun to do, or even like Ninja Warriors. I guess those aren't a quiz show, but it's a, you know. Then three is what show do you want to be on because you really would like to meet whoever like hosts the show. So there's a lot of things for me. If I and Craig, you have to decide whether this is doable. If I can get on a British panel show of some sort, I'm there, 100%. Any of them, I will take any of them, please and thank you. If I really can get my pick, and if you think it counts, I'd want to be, and I'm not a, I mean, this would never happen. I'm not a professional comedian. But I'd want to be a contestant on Taskmaster. I would love that to death. That should be unsurprising. If we're talking actual quiz shows where actual, like, nobody's off the street go, I probably need to research a little bit. I feel like there are some shows that tend, I feel like there's a variety. You can find out what like the average amount of winnings is kind of thing. And certain shows like how difficult they are versus the payout. And I think I could find one that would be like in my head, is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire still on?
I don't know.
I feel like I could do well with that. I'm not saying I'd win a million. I think I'd cash out at a right time, but I think I could do okay. And I don't think this is around anymore. Deal or No Deal, I think would be a good one for that kind of thing. I don't think they'd be fun to be on, but I think I'd get some good money. Beyond that, yeah, most anything where I would get to meet celebrities that I like, and or things where like nobody's real serious about it. So that's why I say most panel shows, because panel shows, who the fuck cares? You're just hanging out, making jokes, having a good time. When I was younger, I feel like I was a big game show kid, but not anymore. Been a daytime TV issue.
Does Whose Line, does that count?
Ooh, I don't know, but that would be a good one.
That would be
a good one.
If that one counts, I have to say that one. I mean, I would have to practice and, you know, get my chops back for improv. But even if I did it and I was terrible at it, I still think I would have fun.
No, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I would slot that in below Taskmaster. I think we're both stepping outside the realms of quiz show. I don't know. Greg, you didn't tell us the rules. Tell us the rules. But I feel like we would. So no interest in going on a show where you might win money.
Not really. No, I mean, I don't think I'd be good at, like, the thing is, I haven't in my life, I've been the guy that's good at, say, Trivial Pursuit, you know, in my circle of friends or whatever. But I don't think I was ever good enough at it that I would be good at, say, Jeopardy or something. So that's out.
What's a good pop culture quiz show? I would probably be decent at that. I'm a pretty serious pop culture generalist, and I seem to know a little bit about all of it.
I mean, there must be something like that.
My first thought is like Jeopardy, but Jeopardy's way broader than that.
Yeah.
For the record, I would not like to go on any of the dating shows for so many reasons.
Well, if they had, if they would let us be a couple on a Newlywed Game type show, I would do that.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
How do you think
it would also be fun with my actual wife, though? I would also enjoy that.
I know, and my wife too, but I think if they let us do it, that would be fun, and I'm not sure how we'd do, though.
The round where I had to guess what you would say, we would nail. The round where you had to guess what I would say.
Really? You think I would be that bad at it?
Yes, you're probably. This will help you feel better. It's not because I think you don't know me. It's because I think if at any point, especially on television, you are asked to guess what another person might respond to something as, you will get a nosebleed, flop sweat, and pass out immediately.
Probably. That's probably true. You're probably right.
You could not. You will be second and third and fourth guessing yourself. Such a degree.
Yeah, you're right.
And eventually you'll be like, Pimento cheese is his favorite sport.
It just sounds fun, though.
No, I think it would be fun. I think it would be fun. It's one of those ones that's fun. The wrong answers are funny, and the right answers are...
Yeah.
So, I like that. When At Midnight was on, I probably would have enjoyed that, although I have mixed feelings about some of the people associated with that now, so hard to say, but...
If I had to pick something where you win money and it's like, well, what do I think I could reasonably do well at? It would probably have to be something like Price is Right or something, you know, like before I go. Like
Price is Right is an easy one.
That's what I mean.
It's hard not to walk away with something.
Yeah, it'd have to be something like that where I would maybe do some research ahead of time to get a good idea how much things cost, like, and then go and try my luck at it.
The idea of being on The Price is Right and like being there and just gives me hives just immediately. All the screaming. I mean, COVID aside.
I know, but I don't want to do it.
Crazy people and
I'm just saying, if someone said no, it's got to be like a game show and it's got to be one you think you could reasonably do well at, it would have to be something like that. Because
what's the Monty Hall one with the curtains?
Truth or Consequences?
Is that what it is? And everybody in the audience would dress up in weird costumes and he'd go around and be like, if you've got dental floss in your purse, I'll give you $100 and shit like that.
And then you have to pick a door, or like you, if you
and it had the door, and it was the goat, and it's the Monty Hall, the Monty Hall paradoxes. But yeah.
I think
that show, I might have fun with that. I might have fun with that. Wayne Brady hosted a reboot of that one a while ago.
I thought about that one, but you know how I would be when you get to the part where, okay, you can give up this prize for what's behind door number three. I would hate that.
Yeah.
I would hate that. I would hate being in that position. And then if what was behind door number, if behind door number three was worse, you know, I'd be, and I picked it, I'd feel terrible. Even though it's dumb. Yeah, I know, but.
No, I'm saying that's how I would do it, was pure math. Yeah. I feel like I would have been really good at the game shows they don't have anymore, where you give clues like password and $25,000 pyramid.
Yeah, I feel like
I would nail both of those.
Yeah.
I also would probably do pretty good on Match Game.
Yeah. And Hollywood Squares.
Pretty good at knowing what people are thinking and saying. I think I
could be. You'd be good at Hollywood Squares because you have to do a little joke before you give your answer. You'd be good at that.
Well, but no, but see, in Hollywood Squares, we're the contestants. We're not the celebrities.
Oh,
because there's actual people in that show. But that would be fun because I would get to talk to celebrity. Well, Hollywood Squares celebrities. I'd get to talk to Bruce Valanche. And the ghost of Paul Lynde. I mean,
well, that would be back in the day, that I mean, they got some pretty good people in the squares. Usually, it wasn't just a bunch of washed-up people.
That was the U.S.'s version of panel shows. Is it was just something light a celebrity could do to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
Now that's TikTok. All right.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else on that one.
All right. I think we should wrap this up. I haven't eaten supper yet. It's waiting for me in there. My wife cooked it. Chicken noodle soup.
Good.
I'm excited. it's usually pretty tasty.
So we started late, but it's getting late.
It's about that time. All right. If you have something you want us to talk about, write that. MagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Also, everybody, especially Craig, you gotta help us here. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us your thoughts on quiz shows and things like that. And that's the problem. Quiz show is a very British phrase, and I think I'm worried it means something different. I don't know. Get on there. Let's talk about this. You know, work with us. The rest of you also show up. And in the meantime, Midnight Gospel, watch it and watch your brain melt. I was so sorry that by the time I watched it, I had no weed anymore. That would have been amazing. Anyway, good night, everybody, and happy. Just happy.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.